The rain poured, and as it stopped, all eyes have been on homes and roads to assess the flood damage. But there are also environmental impacts, both good and bad, that come with floods. And on the line to talk us through the Avon flooding from an ecological perspective is Natasha Woods, CEO of Wheatbelt NRM. Good morning, Natasha.
Good morning, Christine.
Now, you're based up in Northam. What was the flood Friday of Feb 10 like for you?
I was actually in meetings in Perth all day on Friday, looking at all the various bits through the media and websites, making sure I was going to be able to get home. And once I did get here, which was about 5:30 in the afternoon, it was, yeah, quite a spectacular thing to see the river moving at that speed and rising and the foaming from the phosphorus as the Mortlock and the Avon joined.
Where are you in relation to the river?
So I live in the town of Northam, and our office is on the main street of Northam, which is in the 100-year flood zone, and I can see the river from my desk looking out my window.
All right, so you're quite a view. And how do things look up in Northam now?
The river is still officially at flood level, but it never broke its banks through the main part of town, and it just, well, it looks like quite glorious, I would say. The birds are very happy.
Yeah, they would be. How about elsewhere in the Avon River Basin? How are the waters looking?
Well, the Avon River Basin, and I'll just give a brief on this for the community because it's come to my attention having conversations with people over the last week that people don't necessarily understand how the Avon River Basin works. The Avon River Basin is 1.5 times the size of Tassie, okay? It's a massive piece of land. And the outer catchments, which we call the Yilgarn and the Lockhart, all flow together to form the Avon at a point just outside of the township of Beverley, which is called the Yen Yening Lakes. So you've got massive amounts of land that drain to one point and then flow into the Avon River, and then we magically change its name and call it the Swan River as it gets to Perth.
Right.
So it's the same river. So the point to look at then is at Yen Yening Lakes or Coolowndry Crossing, where we can see the outer catchment starting to come in, and that water normally takes 3 or 4 days to make it to Northam. Well, I think that water started coming through on Tuesday, and the water's still actually going over the road there. So the outer catchment is still flowing through into the Avon River.
Wow. So we've all seen the effect of erosion on roads around the region, but what about erosion from an ecological perspective? What do floods do to the river and its banks?
Okay, well, in the olden days, we had this sorted. The river had it sorted. You know, it's a river is quite an amazing natural system. And the main channel of the Avon River was broad and braided with islands, vegetation on those islands, vegetation hanging in the river, and every now and then along the river you would get a deep pool. That sort of system copes quite well when a flood comes through because the water gently moves through the trees and the vegetation, and there's fairly limited erosion. You might get in-channel erosion, so the actual bed of the creek. Take away those trees, which is what we humans did with our great wisdom. I would say we Wadjuk humans because the Noongar people knew better. The flood hits and you erode out the sides, the banks of the river that no longer have vegetation protection, and then that sediment actually fills up the river. So the river gets shallower and broader and less able to cope with flood. So the irony of it is that it gets worse at dealing with flood when you mess with it. And then a whole lot of that sediment will also end up down in the Swan Canning Estuary.
So what about the effect of a flood on flora and fauna then? Is it ultimately a good thing or a bad thing?
I'd say it's a good thing. It's like a rebirth. There are many species that are evolved specifically to trigger breeding and flooding and also to trigger what we call dispersal of the species. So if you're a tree that's sitting on the side of a river and happily breeding and making babies, you make them all the way around you where they can drop, or the birds might move the seeds, bring in a flood and your seed gets to move hundreds of kilometres away.
But I understand floods can be good for weeds and introduced species as well as natives. What does that mean for you guys at the NRM?
Oh, it's such a challenge. It really is a challenge. And you're right. So what would have you know, we see as a natural occurrence that helps the ecology to refresh and clean itself out and start breeding, also moves all the weeds through. I think one species to look at would be Gambusia, which is a itty-bitty fish called mosquito fish that came from South Africa. We introduced it to control mosquitoes. Wasn't wise. And that might have existed in little pools through the Avon. You get a flood and it gets moved everywhere. But Gambusia moved everywhere through the Avon a long time ago, so the dispersal of that weed or feral animal is already done. Some of the other weeds we deal with that are, let's say, riparian weeds, so the river system reeds as opposed to, you know, the agricultural weeds, something like bridal creeper, it will move through this flood, but it really spreads through the birds eating the berries and dragging them around the place. Mm. So we've had quite good programs in controlling bridal creeper along the Avon River recently. Another one is called tamarisk or apple pine, and that specifically moves through the water during floods.
Yeah, right. So you've got a bit of a challenge ahead of you, Natasha. We really appreciate you coming on the air to talk about the environmental impact of floods. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
That's Natasha Wood, CEO of Wheatbelt NRM on ABC Great Southern.